You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. Welcome to Her Story on WDIY, where we celebrate the voices, resilience, and leadership of women making a difference across the Lehigh Valley and beyond. I'm your host, Sandra Bieber. Today's conversation couldn't come at a more urgent time. Across our region, nonprofit organizations are facing massive cuts to government funding, putting essential programs and services at risk for the most vulnerable in our communities. And yet, amidst the challenges, we're seeing something powerful. Women stepping up to lead and sustain hope through philanthropy. Whether through corporate partnerships, grassroots organizations, community meals, or strategic consultants, our guests are working to ensure that equity, dignity, and opportunity remain at the heart of the Lehigh Valley. Welcome to Her Story. All right, let's get started. So we are going to be diving in. I'm so excited to share our stories with the listeners and the people, not only in the Lehigh Valley, but beyond. And I hope that this hits the ears of all global people as well to inspire. So let's start with Vanessa Pearson. Introduce yourself, please, and we'd love to hear more.
Yes, I'm Vanessa Pearson, and I am a chief of staff. What is that? That is someone who helps executives to focus on the business and not in the business. So I ensure that the vision of the leader is pulled through the entire organization. I love my work. I would do it for free if I could afford to. I live here in the Lehigh Valley, just moved up here about a year ago. In Easton, and I really love this community and super excited to be on this podcast.
That's awesome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Elaine, tell me a little bit about yourself and introduce yourself to our listeners and our viewers.
Probably need about 15 minutes for that, but I'll go dance it down. So I've been coined the serial entrepreneur, which I hated at first because I didn't feel like that's who I was, but I guess I am based on everything that I'm about to tell you. My history goes back to I have a bachelor's in psych and business, and then I went to nursing school. So I'm actually an RN by trade. And about 15 years ago, I jumped ship from nursing, and after the death of my parents, I just kind of shifted and wanted to do what I really loved to do, which was photography. Yeah. So with my photography career in the last 15 years, I've done everything. So about 6-7 years ago, I rebranded myself to be a brand strategist and photographer. So I do branding and I do headshots. And then I rebranded myself again to be a more philanthropic person. Last year, I won LLS Visionary of the Year, raised $104,000 in 10 weeks for LLS. Wow. And at that moment, I realized that I will never not be involved in a passion or mission-based project.
That's right.
And then in a time of all uncertainty, I started my own nonprofit, which just got nonprofit status today, called Yes Chef Behind the Apron.
That's amazing.
Of which it's storytelling where I utilize all of my background. That's why it's important to be a serial entrepreneur. So my nursing and psych degree, my photography, and I'm in the food business with Z-Craft with my husband, put it all together to storytell about chefs truly behind the apron by way of sharing their stories and supporting them with mental health challenges. And then twofold, also giving back to our community Second Harvest food bank as well.
Awesome.
So it's been an amazing adventure, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
That's right. And we're so excited to collaborate with you on that.
Because
this is really, really an integral part of your work is to help support food insecurity as well.
So, absolutely.
And not a lot of people are addressing chefs and their mental health, and that's so important. The people that feed us need to be fed as well and taken care of.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So now we have Krista Ortwein. Please introduce yourself to our people.
Right. Thank you for having me today. I am Krista Ortwein. I have lived most of my life here in the Lehigh Valley, and almost all of my career has been serving the community. I started with a long career in nonprofit, and then I moved into the corporate space. I am now the Director of Corporate Social Responsibility at Olympus. Our America's headquarters is luckily right here in Center Valley, Pennsylvania. And I oversee our philanthropy, our volunteerism, employee engagement, and really driving community impact for about 5,000 employees from Canada down to Brazil. Well, actually, we just added a site in Chile. So we have about 5,000 employees, and I oversee our corporate social responsibility strategy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you. Anna Smith.
Thanks so much. It's an honor to be here with this amazing group of women. My name's Anna Smith. I'm the Director of Community Action Development Bethlehem. So we are a neighborhood-based community development organization that focuses on improving the quality of life in our neighborhoods here in the city of Bethlehem, and especially a special place to my heart, which is the south side of Bethlehem, I was born and raised. And I'm fortunate to be raising my own kids in my neighborhood. So I think being able to work every day in the neighborhoods where my kids play, where I live and talk with my neighbors and take my kids to the park. It's really special. And I love working with my neighbors just to improve the quality of life for everyone in our community.
That's amazing. So in my day job, right, this is my passion, my joy, which is podcasting, right, and hosting. But in my day job, I'm the Chief Philanthropy Officer for Community Action Lehigh Valley. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know about Community Action Lehigh Valley, we're one of the largest anti-poverty nonprofits in the Lehigh Valley. And we serve underneath the Community Action Development Bethlehem, Community Action Development Allentown, and over 12 different programs like Second Harvest Food Bank, mm-hmm. and Sleep Out Rising, and so many other organizations. So we are really committed to trying to support the community in whichever way that is. So it's a hand up, not a handout. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that sparked my interest was philanthropy. What is philanthropy and what does that mean to people? Sometimes if you roll it off your tongue three times fast, it gets a little tricky. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important now more than ever to find out what that means for our community and how important it is. So let's start with Vanessa. Tell me what philanthropy means to you.
Well, to me, it kind of hits home very deeply. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, and I did not grow up in the best neighborhood mm-hmm. of Philadelphia. But I had the opportunity to go to Drexel University mm-hmm. on a scholarship. So there was a lot of fundraising in the Philadelphia area to help underserved children excel. And so I'm a benefactor of philanthropists. So I got my degree in chemical engineering, spent over 20 years in the pharmaceutical industry, starting in manufacturing, supply chain. And then I discovered the chief of staff role. And so I'm kind of a living witness of what philanthropy can do when it's applied to people who have the potential and just need a helping hand.
That's amazing.
And so I think philanthropy is more about power sharing mm-hmm. and equity mm-hmm. and not just generosity. Mm-hmm. So it goes beyond just giving money, but actually helping to provide equity for those in need. And so that's what philanthropy means to me.
Hey, what an answer. I mean, wow, that's amazing. It's just listening to your life stories, and we're just getting on one thread, but that's super inspiring. Thank you for sharing that. All right, Elaine, what does that mean to you?
Well, all of that.
Yeah.
It's funny because I was born in South Philly, and then I grew up in Willingboro, New Jersey.
So I grew up
in Willingboro, and also a little bit, you know, lower class, mid-class mm-hmm. upbringing where I don't know anything but to hustle and work.
Yes.
I've been working since I'm 12 years old.
Wow.
Went to Rutgers on a scholarship because of my disabled dad from the Army and stuff. So I understand that upbringing. Mm-hmm. And I don't know anything else but to hustle
yeah.
and to work hard. So philanthropy to me is action,
yeah.
taking action, because there's so many people out there that just talk
yeah.
and they talk and they talk and there's no action. I'm a very action-oriented person.
That's right.
And without that, nothing changes.
That's right. Yeah.
And finding your voice in order to be able to support that and the right like-minded people around you helps mm-hmm. you tremendously when you're able to take that action and move forward with your goals.
That's really good.
Philanthropy to me is 100% action, and I know everyone in this room has to act in order to get things done.
That's right. Yeah. And sometimes you have to act on a whim in some mm-hmm. some perspectives, and you got to do things scared.
Oh,
and
yes.
I think a few of our guests through her story have inspired me. I remember, you know, going out for specific roles and they said, oh, you just got to do it. You know, you have to do it scared. You have to be able to say at the end of the day, you got it. You have to trust who you are and trust where you're coming from and that journey. And what is failure? right? Only just a stepping stone to the next thing, right? So long as we learn from it.
I think I told you that on our first conversation, too. Like, one of my slogans is move fearward.
Yes, so good. So somebody get that in a quote.
And might be my next tattoo.
Yeah.
So you're always moving. If you have fear, that's fine, but just keep moving forward.
Yeah.
So I say move fearward.
That's right.
That's
right.
I love that.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
So good. So good. Krista, tell me what philanthropy is to you now. You're managing 5,000 employees with Olympus. And, you know, shout out to Olympus because they have really dug their roots in to so many different communities, especially here in Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley. And I've had the great honor of working with you for, what, 8 years now? So it's been a joy to get to know you, but to know your heart and to know the work that you're doing. So tell me what it means to you.
Sure, yeah. I think my heart is definitely in it. I think philanthropy is about impact. And you'll hear me say the word impact just now. Naturally, over and over in our conversation today. And it's really about driving impact. It's like Vanessa said, beyond generosity. Of course, we have 5,000 employees in Olympus of the Americas who we want to inspire to be generous. But it's really about carving out where that impact is and driving it. And we do that in all different ways. Philanthropy is evolving constantly. Mm-hmm. It looks different. There are times where funding cuts may alter the way that funding or philanthropy is working in the Lehigh Valley or any community. There's times where things like COVID have altered it.
Yes.
There's been many, many in the last 8 years that I've even known, Sandra, ways that we've had to pivot our philanthropy. But it's really about driving impact by identifying gaps and looking at where is a gap. Is it a funding gap? Is there a need in the community we just weren't aware of before? And really, you know, finding those gaps and then providing the resources and putting the effort forward to collaboratively move impact and move the needle in an area. So
that's
I
right.
think
mm-hmm.
for me, philanthropy definitely means identifying gaps, bridging them, and then building impact in those specific areas.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. And I think that's the corporation and the nonprofit, right, relationship where they're intersecting, communicating on what the needs are, right? So I know there was a story one time, someone telling me that, you know, we're getting hundreds and hundreds of bears, the stuffed bears. I love the bears, but, right, we need this for the children. We need more books. So being able or more coloring or art for children that are in hospitals, et cetera. And I think communicating that to the corporations is so important and saying, you know, right now the need is X, Y, and Z. And I think more and more nonprofits are learning that direct approach is important and that transparency is really, really important as well, having those partners. So
definitely. And I think taking action is always important and the ability to change. I mean, we change what we do all the time because the needs of the community change too. So really being aware of what people need.
It's funny because sometimes in a nonprofit world, we're, and just in general, change can come really hard for folks, right? So, but if you are not married to change, then you need to be. Like, you need to put a ring on it because it is ever evolving.
Yes,
and,
always.
You know, there's a saying where you're constantly evolving every several years, right? And you're trying to become something better, something different. My taste changed when, remember those high heel situations that we were talking about? You know, used to wear those big old heels, right? And then as you get a little bit older, I mean, for me at least, right?
Yeah.
They start getting smaller and they're almost where I'm just to the ground, you know? And I think it's important to just love where you are and love the situation that you're at. And again, that goes with that change, marrying the change. Anna, now you see a lot of different things, boots on the ground, really ingrained on the south side of Bethlehem. And your work, really, I'm very inspired by it. Even though, you know, we're colleagues in some fashion, but we're also community members. We're all fellow community members. And we all, one thing about Lehigh Valley is that we're all watching each other. We're watching out for each other in some capacity. And I'd love to hear what it means to you. What does that mean? What do you see with donors on your end? And
absolutely. And I think change is a really important thing to bring up because our approach at Community Action is to work on the issues that our neighbors and community members are identifying as their highest priority at any given moment. And we have to be flexible and we've adapted and changed. When I first started, we were at Community Action, we were focused on our small business community. And we heard from our residents that there were other organizations that were serving our small business community well. We pivoted. We still work with the Rising Tide Community Loan Fund very very closely to work with our small business community. But we started talking to our neighbors in our neighborhoods, and we heard housing, which had been a tiny portion of the work we had done, has now evolved into one of the top issues that we're addressing citywide, not just here on the South Side, but how do we ensure that everyone has access to affordable and quality housing throughout our city? And the way we approach addressing like an issue like that is ensuring that every single partner that has an opinion or idea or something to contribute, which is literally anyone in our community, is represented at that table. That's wonderful. What that means is we're not working in our little nonprofit silo, right? We're bringing residents, nonprofit organizations, city government and officials, and more important than potentially any others, our private sector the table to have those conversations and to realize we all have a collective interest in ensuring that everyone has access to affordable housing. It's important to our business community. It's important to our city government and especially important to our low-income community members. And I can say that many of our philanthropic partners, our donors, have been there from the beginning brainstorming with us how they can get involved. And it's not always money. You know, sometimes it's money, but sometimes it's, can we bring a volunteer team out to help paint this
Which
house?
Which is huge.
Yeah. And hey, that's something you don't have to pay for. And folks are getting that experience of really understanding what the work looks like.
That's
or
right.
if it's a banking partner, it's how do we develop some sort of loan product that can be easier for families in the neighborhood to access? And having that on the ground knowledge of what families are going through. We've seen banks pivot and offer special products that they've designed just for the community members that are looking to become first-time home buyers. So being able to work in that coalition approach where everyone is at the table means that the solutions that are kind of evolving and coming out of these processes are that much more effective the other side.
Come on now, she's preaching to the choir. This is great. That's what makes our community so special. That's what makes Lehigh Valley feel so good, because it is that collaborative effort. It is that women inspiring, you know, women leaders, and not just that, but just our entire community really wants to support. And one thing that I'm super, super proud of is the fact that there are more women leaders than I've seen step up to the plate, especially in these past couple of years, that are taking the helm and, you know, working with Fear Forward, right? Fear Word. So that right there, and I think moving Fear Word, and even the fearless, you know, are finding those ways to collaborate and saying, okay, so we have a solution, and thinking outside of the box and seeing what are other communities doing that we can adopt here. I think Bethlehem does a great job, Allentown, and so does Easton and the surrounding areas as well. So tell me a little bit about what you think, maybe some out-of-the-box ideas of what you think in this time, because right now nonprofits and really, a lot of individuals are facing funding cuts. They're facing closures because they rely solely on some federal government funding. And I think it's so vital. You think of WDIY and the work that they do, so important, and being able to support our NPR radio stations. Tell me something out of the box that you would say to a nonprofit leader and how to collaborate, and some ideas that you have. I know that you work very closely, Vanessa, with nonprofits that with their strategy. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, what I'm finding with nonprofits is there are sharp elbows out there in the nonprofit arena. That was something that I was not aware of when I first started engaging with nonprofits. But the good news is in the Lehigh Valley, it's very collaborative. Mm-hmm. I'm really impressed with what the Chamber is doing and their nonprofit and Business Partners Council, bringing nonprofits together to do best practice sharing. There are nonprofits who are coming together to actually share when it comes to different services. I know that the United Way, Volunteer Centers of the Lehigh Valley, and the Lehigh Valley Community Foundation are trying to collaborate on capability building for nonprofits and seeing how they can share some of those services to lessen their operating costs. So that is really a best practice. Mm-hmm. How to implement that is still forthcoming, but that's something that nonprofits are researching. How can they share some of those services, like finance, HR, IT, strategic planning. They're looking into those things to reduce their costs in light of reductions in funding, specifically federal and state funding. So those are the things that are coming down the pike from an innovation perspective coming to the Lehigh Valley.
That's very good. Yeah. That's really, really good. Thank you for sharing that. Now, Elaine, I know that you have started Yes Chef Behind the Apron, mm-hmm. which I think has taken the Lehigh Valley by storm. And what makes you start? Sometimes, you know, people are saying, why are you going into the fire, right? But firefighters mm-hmm. don't go into, you know, things mm-hmm. that aren't burning. So you have a passion, you have a purpose. Oh, yeah. And tell us a little bit about why you started.
It's the stories that I'm hearing. Yeah. 80 to 90% of the chefs that I talk to, I have a very strategic way that I start the program. So I'm starting it now for this season. And I do Zoom calls with every one of them that are, mm-hmm. you know, introduced to me to be in the project this year. And I pick between 18 and 20 chefs. Yeah. And I have one-on-one Zoom calls. I have to get to know them, their personality. And I have a way, I guess, of getting their stories pretty quickly, the raw and the real. And that is what I'm going to show. And that's one thing that something else I do, I work with the Good Collective, good people doing good things for good causes. And a couple of my clients, one is WDIY and Volunteer yeah. Center, is I help ideate and think outside the box.
Yes.
How do we create fun, interactive, effective fundraising mm-hmm. that make a difference? And a lot of it is creating things that are interactive with your guests that are coming, because mm-hmm. people are just tired of talking heads, bobbleheads, just at a conference.
That's right.
They want to be involved and they want to take action. This project, Yes Chef, does a lot of that. So you're not only getting good food at the event at the end of the year, you're getting a cool calendar with all these chefs. That's the calendar part. And then there's an art show. So I truly we'll meet with all these chefs and photograph them in a way that you've never seen them before.
Yeah.
This year I'm pushing the limits a little bit, you know, and more of my art will come out where it's truly the raw behind them, what their anxiety, their stress, their drug addiction, mm-hmm. their alcoholism, their mm-hmm. financial burdens needs to be displayed.
That's right.
And all of us, chefs, restaurant owners, all care about food insecurity.
That's right.
Because it's always going to be a problem here. And there's a lot of waste that goes on as well in these industries. So collaborating these two entities together, mental health awareness and food insecurity, is the perfect match, I feel.
Absolutely.
And the community has been so supportive. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to sell out in 3 weeks like we did last year.
That's
with
right.
350 people.
We're going to get there.
Yep. Need a lot of sponsors. But I'm also like, when I look for sponsors, they've got to be the right sponsors. How can I help them back? It's not about, here, give me some money. I want to do the thing that I love. How can I help you? Mm-hmm. So aligning yourself with the right corporations mm-hmm. to back you is super important.
That's right.
Because to me, it's got to align. It can't be something that's just a handout that they're not going to be involved, or what can we do back for you?
Love that. I absolutely mm-hmm. love that. Thank you for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Krista, I know that you have such an impact in women's world, right? But not just in women's world, but how do you showcase and bring that generosity when you're fueling and you're talking to the next generation? Because I always like to leave a little segment for the next generation to listen in on. And I think that you do such a great job at that, being able to instill it not only in your own family, but in your work people as well.
Sure. I think Olympus has great inclusion practices. We have employee resource groups, and we do have a women's employee resource group. Yeah. So I have learned I'm never the expert and not to work in a silo. We have amazing, fierce leaders, and I've really learned to tap into them and collaborate. I think two words that were said that were really important are collaboration and alignment. We've learned to collaborate all over the place. Whether I'm bringing awareness messaging, we do a lot in the healthcare space because we're a medical device company. So if we are moving awareness messaging forward, we know women are decision makers in healthcare. They
That's
are
right.
the ones making the appointments for their families. They are mm-hmm. the ones paying attention to awareness mm-hmm. messaging. Mm-hmm. So we may work with our women's employee resource group to move some of that messaging forward, and our marketing teams and ways to look at that. And then we also do a lot in STEM mentoring and education. I think in the past decade, you've seen tremendous growth in women working in STEM careers mm-hmm. and really having more and more opportunities and resources. But making sure that Olympus, as a medical device company with a lot of people in a STEM career, are making sure we tap into the next generation. And we do that through all different nonprofit organizations. You know, mm-hmm. one of the newest ones is the Da Vinci Science Center mm-hmm. opened, and mm-hmm. making sure that we help support them and support their programming to bring mm-hmm. STEM forward to all youth, really. I mean, we want anybody who hasn't had exposure to STEM to get it, but especially making sure young women know they belong.
That's right. That's really important. Yeah. That's and great. I think it takes us, right, as a village to be able to open those doors and put that elevator down. I remember that vividly, someone telling me that, make sure that you bring that elevator down. Because if you don't, right, it's you're closing the door on your young self, right? Yes. And somebody was generous enough to keep that elevator open for you.
So, sure.
That's really awesome. Thank you. And tell me a little bit about what you're seeing in this next generation as well, and especially how our community is so diverse in Bethlehem and the Lehigh Valley, and, you know, being the number one region of like-sized regions all throughout the nation, there's something special about what we're doing here that I think people need to be paying attention to. And it's at the microcosm level of Bethlehem and what you're doing as well in the South Side and the North Side.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I was growing up in South Bethlehem, most of us in the neighborhood were envisioning a future that was somewhere else. We didn't quite know where it was going to be, but we were thinking, you know, I'm going to go to college somewhere else. We're not coming back. We're going to find somewhere cooler. And I left for a little bit, and I found some cool places, but I made my way back here. Yeah. And the neat thing over the last few years is to see how many of my friends and classmates are making their way back here are really realizing what a special place the Lehigh Valley is, and especially Bethlehem, which is closest to my heart. Yeah. I could say the Lehigh Valley as a whole just has so many amenities and such a great quality of life that makes it great to live here.
That's right.
And I think that's one of the things that inspires me then in our work every day is how do we make sure that that opportunity is available to everyone,
that's
regardless
right.
of whether or not they're working, for our older folks in the community to be able to stay here as their age, and especially
yes.
for our next generation to actually envision a future here in our neighborhoods. I think something we hear too often, unfortunately, is about younger people who would like to move back here, but they can't find a place they can afford to live. And there are jobs and there's great quality of life, but where are you going to live? So thinking, creatively about how we get young people involved in designing what our future neighborhoods look
yes.
like, in advocating for different types of housing that meets their needs, which are different from
That's
many
right.
of the needs of other generations. And I'm fortunate. My husband teaches high school, so I get to hear his high school stories every
yeah.
day. And when he tells me about how empathetic this new generation
yes.
is, the things they're talking about in the classroom are
yeah.
things that I had never even occurred to me at 15 and 16 years
That's
old.
Right.
And so
That's
I just have so much hope
yes.
when I hear his stories
yeah,
about
great.
This new generation of young folks.
Come on, next generation.
They are deeper thinkers than we ever were at
yeah.
their age. And
yeah.
I have so much faith that they're going to be the ones that
yeah.
help us
yeah.
figure out so
yeah.
many of these societal issues that we're struggling with right now.
Absolutely.
I have a lot of hope.
That's awesome. And I think this generation that you're speaking of are so well informed, right? I mean, I'm talking about me growing up in the 90s, and maybe I'm aging myself. Oh, well. But we didn't get into Google and all that until a little bit of the 2000s, for me at least. And the rapid rate in which Instagram and social and Facebook and Google and ChatGPT, I mean, my goodness, it just keeping us so informed and in a way that is amazing. So, as we wrap up, I want to do a quick 20-second around. What is one word that you would say, right, to yourself every day to get you through these uncertain times? Vanessa, go ahead.
Progress over perfection. That's more than one word.
Come on. I love it.
That is what I focus on, progress, not perfection.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Lane.
You've got passion on one side, fear on the other.
That's right.
Jump.
Yes.
Jump.
Okay.
Take a leap.
Jump.
And go for it. Because your passion will always outweigh your fear.
So good. That's great.
So good.
I'd say lead with your heart. I've learned, I used to try to fit a mold in my leadership, and I've learned just to follow my gut and really
so
do what
good.
I love.
That's beautiful.
That's great.
I think it's believing in the people around us and believing in our sense of community. And I know that that gives me the hope that I need to keep moving forward.
Thank you so much. That's great. Anna, Krista, Elaine, Vanessa, you have inspired me. I know in the time that, we're all kind of feeling a little bit shaky in these times, but I know that with conversations like this, with good people around the table, that I think we are going to make a difference and do something special. So thank you for tuning in, and thank you for our listeners and our viewers, and thanks to our beautiful guests. We appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for having
yes.
me.